The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome!
Welcome!
Oh, come on, man, don't step on me like that. You're going to confuse the people. Welcome! Me back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, Dom. It is the Was It Worth It Friday edition.
Was it worth it?
Someone on all of the stories we like to post to each other on the Facebooks at the Devil's Advocates radio show. And you can find us at the Twitter. I just tweeted, and that's a rarity. And why I chose to tweet your picture is a mystery, but you'll have to go to the Facebook and figure out why. But Dom, I'm out there promoting this fine show on Civic Media, on the social medias, all over the place, because this will be worth it for you, the audience. But there's some Republicans, some, let's call them alleged felonious Wisconsin Republicans, who are going to wonder whether or not this was all worth it, Tom.
Was it worth it?
Real quick, sticking around will be worth it for you, our fine audience, because we got the greatest Maggie Dawn joining us. 4:30 Central Time, that ain't 22 minutes, something like that. Stick around for her. I'll tell you, she'll be worth it. And even some vacation stories from yours truly. You know, I got a few.
Oh, man. Well, welcome back, Crudy. It's great to have you back. Thank you, Nate, helping me out all week long. And, of course, our fair audience. Happy, happy Friday. We have made it.
We have made it to the airing of the grievances. And you. Yes. Can be a big part. 844-967-2789. I'll say it again slow. 844-96-PARTY. That's the caller line. And also, you can use that shiny Civic Media app to text us directly or do it the old-fashioned way. Again, that same number, 844-967-2789. Join us. Fridays is for you. And these headlines, Dom, they welcome me back to the great state of Wisconsin. Yeah, what sort of a felonious crime family is running the Adam Steen campaign? And what about your girlfriend, former assembly elections? What was it? Elections commission. Well,
committee.
It was committee chairperson. Janelle Branchon is now an alleged felon. Dom, can you help me set the stage, buddy? I've been away from these headlines.
I know. I cannot believe. Of course, I can believe it. Crudy from the WisPolitics.com.
And just for the record, this was the scoop. All other reporting originates from this one.
From WisPolitics.com. Ethics Commission alleges Trump Joint Fundraising Committee Branchon involved in campaign finance scheme to benefit Voss Challenger. What? The State Ethics Commission alleges Donald Trump's Joint Fundraising Committee and GOP State Rep Janelle Branchon schemed to evade campaign finance limits as part of an effort that steered at least $40,000 to the 2022 primary challenge of Speaker Robin Voss, according to records obtained by WisPolitics. The commission this week recommended local district attorneys investigate and charge both, as well as the campaign of Adam Steen, who lost to Voss by 260 votes, eight individuals, and the three county Republican parties alleged to be involved. The referrals accuse Steen, Branchon, the Save America Joint Fundraising Committee, and others of committing felonies.
Damn!
Committing felonies, Crudy!
That could make them ineligible to vote for themselves!
You know, I mean, she was on... She was appointed to the election committee, right? In the assembly
she
by the Republicans.
She headed the election committee and now is an accused felon.
for violating election campaign laws?
And here's my thought, Dom. You know, we talk about this bipartisan decision by the election, Ethics Commission, right? Got to keep that straight. I knew I'd screw it up at some point. Had to look them up. Had a no notorious names there, not since our buddy Scott Ross left. So this seems like a pretty straight down the middle decision, Dom. And they are referring, and should these local DAs not take this up, well, they would have the right to refer then to Josh Call, the Attorney General of the great state of Wisconsin. And I'm laughing, Dom. I am giggling because all these people that would accuse of what? Election rigging. That's their accusation constantly. The Janelle Branch, and she's in the Trump camp. These are the MAGA Republicans in the perfect storm because the left side of the Elections Commission, well, they're all down for good governance. And the right side of the Elections Commission, they're all inside baseball Republicans on, let's say, the Robin Voss, the quote-unquote straight governance side. Not quite the every election is rigged side, although willing to, you know, consider the notion if it's politically expedient. But the fact that Robin Voss was the target of this election conspiracy, Dom?
The scheme? This fraudulent scheme led by what? The MAGAs?
The MAGAs. I mean, once upon a time, this Janelle Branch took a bunch of hooligans down to Voss's office. She kind of charged the mound one day.
Oh, didn't she also?
She was stripped of her gavel, was she not?
Arizona? I mean, you know, this is part of that crew. And of course, is it ironic, hypocritical, you know, perfect that these very Republicans who rail against, you know, politics, the elections, how they're being run and all these things, are they themselves apparently engaging in felonious activity surrounding these elections? And why? Because they didn't like Robin Voss. A little bit more from the WISP politics. The records show the commission also looked into a $4,000 donation by the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell. He gave to one of the county parties.
The green pillows!
It decided there wasn't sufficient evidence to prove he actually intended the donation to benefit Steen's campaign. So here we go. At the heart of the effort was an arrangement between Steen, the county parties, and others to send donations to the Langley County GOP. The investigation found Steen and campaign aides told those who wanted to give more than the $1,000 limit on individual donations for assembly candidates to send the additional contributions to the Langley County GOP with a 63, the number 63, in the memo line.
Not because Scott Walker asked, because that's how Scott Walker's illegal campaigning went on. That's specifically what he did. Just reminding the people, but please continue.
The 63 in the memo line, Crudy, that references the district Voss represents. The number was a signal that the Langley County GOP was to forward those funds or use them for in-kind donations to benefit Steen, according to the documents, which were obtained through an open records request. Altogether, investigators found, what, $44,702 that was contributed to the Steen campaign. They raised just under $175,000. In total. Some other reporting on this.
Was it really worth it? It's
unbelievable. Molly Beck also writing at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on this topic. At one point, apparently, a former treasurer of the Florence County GOP said party members worried about the plan to funnel money to Steen. Here's a quote. It was after the fact. We were like, this sounds like money laundering to me. Did we just screw up really bad? The former treasurer told investigators hired by the commission. The quote continues. And it's like, well, everybody knows. I mean, when money comes in like that and goes out, you know it's something. But it was too late. We had already done it. The group had voted yes. You voted yes to circumvent campaign finance limits. Perhaps feloniously. Are you surprised? Is anybody really surprised?
Do you think it was worth it all in all, Dom? I mean, what was the transfer here? Like $44,000?
Yeah.
Maybe if they could have gotten it up to 50, Robin Voss would have been recalled. He would have lost, more accurately, the primary. I guess they're seeking to recall him now. Do you think this will dampen that effort? To recall Robin Voss, all the actors are in prison now, all the real actors, do you think there'll be an effort to recall the man? Don't you still need a candidate to beat him with?
That has already started. The clock is ticking on them to get their signatures. A little bit more from Molly Beck. The commission, as mentioned, Crudy, made up of three Republicans and three Democrats, Tuesday referred the alleged violations to several county prosecutors, according to records obtained from the commission. Commissioners noted, if prosecutors do not initiate charges within 60 days, the panel will take the referrals to another district attorney or the Wisconsin Department of Justice. And on a side note, Crudy, apparently there's one district attorney, the Chippewa County DA, Wade Newell.
Yeah, what about that guy?
He said he would refer the charges back to the commission because he is a member of the party that could be charged. His quote, the Chippewa County DA's office takes all potential campaign violations seriously, really. However, I cannot personally take any action in these matters. As both a past and present member of the Chippewa County Republican Party, it would be a conflict for me to take any action regarding these allegations. He said by referring the charges back to the commission, commissioners can take them to another prosecutor or the state DOJ.
You know, you can hear us on 93.5 FM, the Tap up there in Chippewa County, I do believe, Dom. I wonder if
there was at least one recorded conversation where Janelle Brangen was discussing getting money from Save America PAC to a county party, the commissioners wrote in their order. Brangen also donated $3,000 to the Ling Lake County GOP ahead of the primary. As a representative to the assembly since 2014, Representative Brangen was well aware she could not give more than $1,000 to Friends of Adam Steen, the commissioner said. It is also clear that she was supporting Mr. Adam Steen and was aware of the arrangement between Friends of Adam Steen and the Republican Party of Ling Lake County.
So she could exceed campaign finance limits by $2,000? And the Trump campaign involved in this as well, right? The Trump campaign alleged to be felonious. I mean, the Washington Post, everyone's picked up this headline, Dom.
Trump's Save America PAC donated $5,000 to be sent to the Chippewa County Republican Party and then transferred to Steen's campaign, the commission alleges. It then donated $5,000 each to the parties in Florence and Ling Lake counties after its agent learned of the plan to send the county party donations to Steen's campaign. Well, there's a 15 cool for you. Was it worth it, Trump?
We were there when Trump endorsed them, right? Waukesha County, come back. Devil's Advocates. It'll be worth it. I guarantee you, it'll be worth the price.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Get your towels ready. It's about to go down. Everybody in the place, hit the open deck. But stay on your mother toes.
Hey, we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show. Happy Friday to us all. Airing the grievances, you can join us 844-967-2789. Also, make sure you stick around. Crudy said, Maggie Dawn coming up at the bottom of the hour. Crudy, regarding this news, right, that the Republicans and Trump's campaign, Adam Steen's campaign against Robin Voss here in the state of Wisconsin were trying, you know, had the scheme to skirt finance laws and limits. This is Republican on Republican. You know what I mean? Like, this is nothing
red
to do
on red violence.
Right. It's nothing to do with the woke left or the communist, Marxist, socialist, whatever, you know, Ron Johnson wants to say. This is Republican versus Republican. It's like Kramer versus Kramer.
Well, that seems inconsequential relative to the fact it's an effort to rig an election and pervert the campaign finance laws. And it's felonious. And it just happens to be to target Robin Voss. The victim of this crime.
Breaking laws, allegedly engaging victimless in crime activity. You know, it would seem to me that the Wisconsin Republican Party, Crudy, is in disarray.
Long way to go for that, but I kind of interrupted.
This is working. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Dom, it was great to come back yesterday. Long day. Got up at 5:15 a.m. Pacific time. I knew I had to travel early. We were expecting a cab at 7, so I knew I had to get the kids moving. Spent some time on the West Coast. Met Kelsey's boyfriend, the beautiful daughter of my wife, and I got to raise her. And her boyfriend, first time I ever got to meet this dude. He's like a young version of you, except tall, but had the long hair, like the Italian long black hair, but the little bit of a Grizzly Adams beard thing going on, this Tanner young character. And he's the sort of guy that currently works in a coffee shop. But this guy's gone like on the Appalachian Trail. And the only thing I could think is, you don't know who Mark Sanford is, do you? But he's like one of these wilderness backpacker. I mean, he's got his EMT and he's like a hardcore wilderness guy. I'm like, great for her. And she and he invited me our first nice day on the island to go hiking. I'm like, sure. And let me tell you, Catalina Island off the coast of California, it's kind of off Long Beach, sort of south of there. I had to ride a boat. That's the boat song. Ferry. And I did okay. L.A. Tom told me he got sick his first time riding a boat. And then the big shot had to ride a helicopter back because it's only 26 minutes then. I was fine with the boat. I actually got 3 cocktails in like 70 minutes on that ferry on the way over. Less so on the way back. Only one. Bloody Mary. But anyways, enjoyed the week. Actually, Joe Biden was in L.A. on Wednesday. It did cross my mind to go to Joe Biden and see if I could write this off, Jerry. Yeah, at least some of the portion of the trip cost. Because, you know, it gets a little pricey there, the drinks and the food and all that kind of stuff, Tom. But,
you know, the fact that you're even talking about it, I think, allows for a write-off.
Well, I did go to the effing Catalina wine mixer, man. You know, that's what made it all worthwhile. I wish you could have been there with me. It was really a wonderful thing. But
you went hiking, though, right? I mean, you went up in the mountains.
I started to mention, I thought I was just going for a nice little stroll. 1.3 miles, they tell me. Straight up a mountain. Yeah. And Catalina Island is beautiful. It's like Key West with less drunk people, unless the cruise ship's in town. And mountains. I didn't really anticipate the mountains. It's almost like the south of France where we stayed. You know, a lot of condos up in the mountains. And beautiful, gorgeous. Not really my preferred terrain for uphill walking. This old man was having a little, you know, it's the highest peak. You can see both sides, ocean on both sides of the island.
Yeah, super cool.
Let me just say, each night, Tanner had a nice thing he taught my family. And we've done this before at different points with our kids. What was the best part of your day? And my best part of that day was the downhill hike. But Dom, we're traveling soon. I'm sorry, what?
How'd your knees hold up and how was the oxygen? For me, like going to Colorado and hiking in the mountains, it was always the getting used to the high altitude.
I can walk. I got long legs, man. Not like your little short ass. I can walk. But that wasn't the issue. It was just keeping my breath, not huffing and puffing too bad around the kids. So they're not, well.
And Dad, are you okay?
I failed to mention I did have 2 doubles before. Because I didn't know that this was going to be some sort of strenuous hike. I thought we were on vacation. I was doing some day drinking like good Wisconsinites do.
Yeah.
So had a couple cocktails with lunch and went for a 1.3 mile stroll up the side of a mountain. You know, paths. And it was beautiful, but my only trip to the top of Catalina Island. Probably. Did see a shipwreck. Literally happened. Bad storms, like on Tuesday night. Somebody's poor sailboat came crashing on the shore. So that was sad for them and all the little fishes and stuff, because apparently dripping some petroleum in the Catalina Bay, that's not good for tourism. But really enjoyed myself. My daughter, here's a few of the insights. Political. Couple of thoughts. The Katie Porter, Adam Schiff, Steve Garvey race, and my understanding is first place right now is probably Adam Schiff, probably in the lead.
That's the polling I've seen today said Adam Schiff.
And the question is will Katie Porter take second? Because there's going to be a primary and a general, and I believe that's March 5th. But the insight my daughter gave me, and she's 29, and she's got a lot of professional clients, a lot of young ladies, but some well-to-do people as well. She works in a high-end salon. And she said a lot of her clients are super turned off, her term, by the Joe Biden's position on Gaza.
Yeah.
And California young women voters may not matter, but she said, I don't hear anybody talking about this, Crudy. And she said, I'm telling you, a lot of my friends are really upset by this, and they're very progressive, and they care a lot about the people in Gaza, and they don't think Joe Biden is on the right side of this issue. And I said, but what's the alternative, hon? Trump is fascism. Trump is chaos. She said, that's they're not going to vote for Trump. They're going to stay home. That's her fear. That's my fear. I think that Katie Porter could blow out Steve Garvey. Local news coverage was not very complimentary of the, well, you remember Herschel Walker, the last pro athlete to try to make a U.S. Senate run, and the Tommy Tupperville. He's also a former
notorious football coach.
And
lots of Auburn. Interesting things to say yesterday. Yeah.
Well, that guy. Steve Garvey was a beloved first baseman for the Yankees. Dodgers. But less so the politician. Less shrewd on the stump. Not doing so well in the debates. But I am a little concerned about, you know, what my daughter told me was the sentiment of young voters. And the fact that I spilled some red wine on her hat, and the fact that she was a little mad at me. You know, they get mad really easy, Dom. They hold grudges. I'm just telling you.
You know, kids these days. Holding a grudge, what? You raised her? Weird how that happens.
Maggie Dunn is next. It's a Friday Catalina Wine Mixer Friday. Come back with us.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making and
welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Was It Worth It Friday edition. Well, it's worth it right now because we've got the incomparable Maggie Dawn, attorney at law, radio host of some renown, joining the civic media airwaves, at least in the full-time basis. Monday, welcome aboard, Maggie Dawn.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, guys. Great to be here. Super excited about Monday. Who knew? Daytime radio shows.
Well, I am excited about a few of the headlines, Maggie. I don't know if you noticed, but the Wisconsin Ethics Commission suggested that we got a bunch of felonious Republicans, especially those that ran the Adam Steen campaign, the former, Assembly Elections Commission chairperson, and, maybe the Trump campaign, for good measure. Bunch of felons, allegedly. Maggie, what was your impression?
Not surprised, but a bit shocked that it was so sloppy. The article is reporting that there were pretty brazen statements being made. There's a recording of Representative Brantigen basically talking about getting around the state campaign finance limits. And let's be clear, campaign finance donation limits are basically elections 101. You don't screw up that stuff because the criminal penalties are so sometimes severe. I wish I could say that this was shocking in some way. The stupidity of it, I guess, is shocking. The fact of that it occurred is not. I also think that the responses of the Waukesha and Chippewa County district attorneys, pretty pathetic.
I didn't see the
Chippewa County DA said he's going to refer back to the Ethics Commission because he was perhaps one of those that could be charged in the scheme.
And that to me is really strange. So when lawyers are conflicted out, conflicts are generally personal to the attorney. It doesn't conflict out an entire district attorney's office. So in the ordinary course, District Attorney Wade Newell of Chippewa County would simply recuse himself, assign one of his chief deputies, who's not a member of the Chippewa County Republican Party, and ask them to investigate and charge himself if that district attorney came to that judgment. That's how conflicts are handled in the ordinary course in typical government law offices. It is weak sauce, to say the very least, that he's referring it back to the Elections Commission, who has no criminal indictment powers. That's ridiculous to me. And I think the suspicion that the Wisconsin Ethics Commission has that some of these Republican district attorneys may not act on this information is revealed because the commission took what I think and my understanding is a pretty extraordinary step that said to these district attorneys, unless you take action in 60 days, we're basically going to go shop these indictments around to other district attorneys or potentially the state attorney general. In other words, they're saying to these DAs, go do your job and do it in the nonpartisan fashion that criminal justice should always be meted out. And you've got two DAs, Waukesha County District Attorney Susan Opper and Chippewa County District Attorney Wade Newell, basically saying, nah, not going to really do it. Now, Ms. Opper hasn't definitively made that statement, but she basically said there's not enough facts in this report, which there's enough facts in the 3-page Journal Sentinel article to clearly ensure that a crime was committed.
Opper said that the fundamental information that would be needed for me to decide how to proceed was lacking, and that she will make a charging decision after receiving the additional context. Yeah.
Don't they do investigations? I mean, perhaps not the specific DA, but don't they have investigators that they utilize in some way, shape, or form that could help, you know, bring some of this information to light, Maggie?
Well, that's the whole district attorney's offices, U.S. attorney's offices, anybody who has a criminal prosecutory function, the attorney general of the state, the U.S. attorney general, they all have investigatory powers. To put this in context, my office that I will continue to run until March 4th, my office, the Milwaukee County Office of Corporation Counsel, has no criminal prosecutorial function, and thus we do not have investigators. But every single criminal prosecutorial office, whether at a local district attorney level, a state attorney general, or in U.S. attorney's offices in the Department of Justice, all have their own independent investigators. And that's exactly what they're there for. So when someone makes a referral and says, I think a crime was committed, you don't go, oh, gee whiz, not enough. Tell me more. You go assign your own investigators to look into it. I don't understand what's happening in Chippewa County or Waukesha County right now.
Maggie, why those counties? They're nowhere near where Robin Voss was being challenged by Adam Steen in a partisan primary. Obviously, when Trump's campaign came to town, they actually endorsed against Robin Voss in his own backyard in Waukesha County. And Dom and I were at that rally, and we saw it with our own eyes. And it was sparsely attended, but it was effective. Rebecca Clayfish didn't come through the primary. Tim Michaels did. And Adam Steen damn near beat them, beat Robin Voss. And Maggie, would it be apt to say these Republicans were trying to rig an election?
I mean, whether you talk about election lies, running basically undemocratic candidates or candidates that don't believe in the fundamental tenets of a constitutional democracy, and now totally brazen, out in the open campaign finance violations that are criminal. These aren't civil violations. These laws exist for a reason. It's very clear, I think, that a number of people, including very high-ranking officials in the state and county Republican parties, were actively committing numerous crimes to effectively try to rig the election. In other words, I'll go back to what I've been saying for quite some time. It's the gaslighting of America. Trump says the election was rigged by people that support Biden. That's patently untrue. The people that were doing the rigging were, in fact, Trump, Representative Brantigin, and other leaders in the state GOP party and the county Republican parties. And many of these people have sworn oaths to help uphold the Constitution. I don't know how they sleep at night. These folks knew what they were doing was wrong. If we want to talk about the 60 Minutes interview, oh, gee whiz, I was tricked. No, you weren't, right?
Adam, had you refer to the former chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin recently on 60 Minutes, what, saying, oh, poor me, you know, I felt threatened?
I was scared. Yeah.
Well, then
the man's a lawyer, and I think it bears mention that his successor, the head of the Wisconsin GOP party, just stepped down again. Now, that never happens a few months out from hosting the Republican National Convention. There is a problem within how the Republican Party structure, whether we're talking at the county levels or at the state levels. The impact of Donald Trump is basically soup to nuts corruption at every level of Republican Party politics. And if you're a Republican, I'd be angry, because this is not how parties are supposed to operate. They're supposed to help fulfill the will of conservative voters in those jurisdictions. This is simply cheating. It's rigging, and it's undermining the will of conservatives. It's effectively muting conservatives that oppose Trump. He's remaking the entire Republican National Committee in his own image. Ronna McDaniel being run out. You see this again and again and again. You can look at Republican county parties in South Carolina in the primary that's going to happen. It's happening in Arizona. It's all out warfare in these small local Republican parties that used to be basically knitting circles who worked in fairly harmonious coordination with state and the national party. It ain't that anymore, and it's totally corrupt. I mean, hey, Attorney General Merrick Garland, what do you think about some RICO charges, eh? Because it sure looks like that to me.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That is Maggie Dawn, the host of the Maggie Dawn Show, friend of ours. Maggie, always a pleasure. This Chippewa County DA thing, this one kind of gets to me a little bit. I mean, guys basically say, well, you know, I was part of the party. It was in the past. I'm still a member now, and therefore I'm not going to do anything. As mentioned, he could assign this to somebody within the DA's office to investigate, but would then in turn say what? That he himself would be investigated by the person he assigns to investigate? And then above and beyond that, Josh Call, if this ends up at Wisconsin Attorney General's desk, how does he handle it? Is this a special prosecutor? Does he go and investigate, you know, these DAs in these various communities for this crime?
I can tell you what I would do if I was Attorney General Josh Call or Chippewa County District Attorney Wade Newell. I would call up former Bush appointee U.S. Attorney Stephen Biskupic, who is known to be a very good lawyer. He's a conservative. And I would ask him to be appointed a special prosecutor, either out of a county district attorney's office or on behalf of the state of Wisconsin. And I would say, follow the facts, follow the evidence, wherever it will take you, and please do so quickly. But let's not sacrifice accuracy for speed, but voters deserve to know. That's what I would do. Stephen Biskupic, again, renowned lawyer, former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, quality lawyer, stand-up guy, honorable gentleman, by all accounts, and a conservative. That's who I would assign. I wouldn't do what Robin Voss did and pick a political hatchet man with, frankly, low legal acumen and low respect amongst legal professionals, aka Michael Gableman, friend of, the pillow guy, to investigate this. You pick a high quality, high powered conservative lawyer and you assign him as a special prosecutor, and you tell him, follow the facts and the evidence wherever it may lead.
Ah, Maggie Dawn, you led me nicely to corrupted former Wisconsin Supreme Court appointee. I guess he got elected. Michael Gableman. He was corrupted. That's my assessment. But the headline, Molly Beck at the Journal Sentinel, assembly leaders concede Michael Gableman violated records laws during fruitless 2020 election review. He was allied with Branchon. She effectively empowered his subpoenas, did she not? And I'll let you speak to that. I got a few more thoughts, though.
Michael Gableman is a joke. He was a joke as a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. He remains a joke today. This is not an acute legal mind. And he frankly was willing to sacrifice any sense of his own moral core or higher calling to constitutional principles to basically subjugate himself on the altar of Trump. What a shame. What a blemish for the Wisconsin GOP. What a blemish for Republicans in the state of Wisconsin. He's an embarrassment through and through. And the entire assembly knew that he was violating open records law. He admitted as much in pleadings and in open court. And instead of course, accepting responsibility for your terrible conduct, they tried all sorts of smokescreen to place blame anywhere else but where it belonged, squarely on Michael Gableman's shoulders.
Maggie Dawn, I can't wait until Monday to find out your opinion of the newly signed Evers maps. Can you stick around one more segment with us?
So, I sure can.
Well, before we go to whatever happens between segments, because we don't talk about it, it's like Fight Club. Let me ask you, Maggie Dawn, Monday, your foray into talk radio greatness, you're going to be the lead into us. How wonderful for you.
Well, starting Monday, you guys will have the second greatest radio show ever.
Bring it, sister. You know, it's going to be a difficult choice, but can't we both be the greatest? Time for...
And choice is a good thing. Choice for reasonable, meaningful radio is a damn good thing for Wisconsin.
Well, Maggie, maybe you can claim the greatest radio show ever when you hit the road to Michigan, because the Devil's Advocates, we're going on the For the Love of Democracy Tour 2024, thanks to our good friend Chad and Chad's Design Build. We'll find ourselves chasing the relevance in Michigan soon. We'll be there Monday and Tuesday. We'll bring you live coverage on the ground, man on the street, Detroit and other places. We'll see. Come back. More Maggie Dawn, more Devil's Advocates. Some say greatest radio show ever for now.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show sticking around for another segment. Maggie, thank you for doing so. Happy Friday to you. Regarding this headline, serve Republicans in the state of Wisconsin, you know, skirting campaign finance laws, Janelle Brandgen, Adam Steen, the campaign of Donald Trump, the super PAC. Talk about the super PAC. My understanding, the Trump Save America PAC gave $5,000 to the Chippewa County Republican Party. And then when word got out, they gave $5,000 at Florence and Langland counties as well. So there's three separate $5,000 transactions in this one incident. My question, Maggie, if this gets under investigation, could the investigators track back through the Trump America, the Trump Save America PAC, and see if this has been done in other places? I can't imagine this is the first time that people have used the, you know, campaign finance laws that are very shaky here in the state of Wisconsin to avoid the limits. Maggie, do you think there's some way somehow the investigators could dig deeper into these organizations?
Absolutely, because while Michael Gableman may destroy records, guess who doesn't? Banks. Financial transactions always leave a footprint. They should be able to track all this back. Now, federal subpoena power or a special prosecutor's subpoena power, I think here would be extremely useful, especially if you're dealing with federally insured banking institutions. But that's where I'd be looking. I'd just go right to the banks. Let's see the canceled checks. Let's see the wire transfers and figure out who gave how much money and when. To me, again, I'm only half joking or half being hyperbolic when I reference RICO charges. To the very point that you're making right now, Dominic, if this was happening, again, coordinated through the Save America Trump PAC in various jurisdictions and across state lines, yes, you are looking at federal racketeering charges. It is organized crime. It's not lost on anyone that the charges in Georgia include RICO charges. That's how they reached all these different defendants. And again, just a short primer on RICO charges and corruption and organized crime type charging. You do not have to have knowledge of the entirety of the conspiracy in order to be charged. In other words, if you think of it as a wheel, You don't have to know about the hub. You need only be a spoke or the very end of the line of the conspiracy in order to be charged. I'd be very concerned if I was Janelle Brantigen. I'd be very concerned if I was anybody that was cutting checks above the $1,000 limit in the state of Wisconsin related to that race. I'd be really gosh darn worried if I was Adam Steen. I don't know how you get around these very clear facts and the fact and the evidence, direct evidence that will be available from banks if they are subpoenaed, that'll show exactly who is transferring money to whom. I mean, the article from the JS mentions that, oh yeah, just write a check to this PAC, but put on the memo line 63, which is supposed to be code, basically like, this is the Adam Steen campaign to unseat Robin Voss slush fund. Yep. Let's go look at the canceled checks, folks. I'm sure there'll be evidence there.
Why not? Because Scott Walker asked. Folks, that's Maggie Dawn. She is the host of the Maggie Dawn Show, starting at 2 o'clock on Monday, all across the Civic Media Network. Maggie, got to ask you about Tony's maps. I didn't have the opportunity, and I am relishing the thought that most of the Republicans in the state might be feloniously in a conspiracy. I do want to get your opinion on Tony's maps because, you know, we got elections coming up this fall, and they could all be on the ballot, or at least most of them. Maggie, what do you think about Tony's maps and his signature thereof?
At the end of the day, every single person in the state of Wisconsin should sleep easier with these maps in place, because for the first time since Republicans took control of government in this state in the first midterm election following Barack Obama's ascendancy to the presidency in 2008, for the first time, it will be the case that the party who acquires the most amount of votes in the state of Wisconsin will hold the most seats in the state assembly and the state senate. Hooray for democracy. I don't care if you're a Republican, independent, purple polka-dotted people eater. If your party gets more votes across the state of Wisconsin, your party will have control of the state assembly or senate. That is the way it's supposed to work. So good for democracy and good on Tony Evers for signing the maps.
I agree with everything you said there, perhaps except the good on Tony for signing the maps, because I had insiders calling me desperate to get out the message, Tony, don't sign this map, because this will create a legal way to transport these maps before perhaps Diane Sykes in the Seventh Circuit. And I know, at least at that time, Maggie, maybe you've had new insights since, you said you agreed with me. So what's changed? Why are these acceptable? Are they only acceptable if we don't get sued? If there's not a loophole because the special election? What are we doing about the Lena Taylor seat? And how does this not open the path for the lawsuit? How is this not blatantly obvious? I'm a layman here. What am I missing?
I remain concerned that the maps will be challenged by conservative aligned forces or self-interested Democratic political operatives. This needs to be about restoring some semblance of fairness to Wisconsin voters so that Wisconsin voters can again have some faith in their elected officials, to not scream to the partisan tails of the bell curve, but to actually get meaningful legislation done in Madison. It should escape no one's notice that all of a sudden the state legislature seems to be coming up with really good legislation that serves the middle class. Funny how that works, that fair maps beget better legislation, better outcomes, and harder working state representatives. No kidding. That's what we all want.
But have we seen the final chapter, Maggie? I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but I'm not clear that we've seen the final chapter on these maps.
If we are sued, if Evers is sued, if we as Wisconsinites are challenged by some far right conservative group trying to undermine these maps, Democrats and Democratic donors need to blanket the airways and station like this saying the GOP in the state of Wisconsin is trying to steal your vote. That's the election crime and the election fraud of the century. Everyone should support these maps no matter what party you put behind your name.
Maggie Dawn, I hear you got a birthday coming up soon. Let me be the first on the air, on this show at least, to wish you a happy birthday. Happy 29th to you, sister.
Happy birthday, Megan Dawn.
29th for the multiple times here. Thanks. We appreciate it.
We celebrate for like weeks to months, you know, it's like birthday quarter for us. So you enjoy it and get to work on Monday, 2 o'clock on the Civic Media Network, the Maggie Dawn Show. Some would say soon to be the best radio show ever, but I'm not there yet. We'll see. Happier happy hours next. You better stick around.